All right, gentlemen in the rotunda, we are live and getting ready to start the meeting. Live and getting ready to start the meeting. Thank you so much. Ask everybody to rise for the Pledge of the Flag.
Want to get out here at 6?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Raymond.
Present.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne. Ms. Daniels.
Present.
Ms. Quiattek.
Present.
Ms. Laird. Ms. Leon.
Councilman Cologne will be joining us momentarily. Moving on to the approval of the minutes. Any comments on the minutes from council members? Moving on to public comment. The first public comment is on subjects not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. I only have one person signed up, Mr. Artie Carazola.
Hi, I'm Artie Caracola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Southside. I'm not going to talk about anti-Semitism because some of the comments that I've made in the past could probably, in another 20 years or less, will get me behind bars or crucified. But anyway, I'm going to talk about ArtsQuest because ArtsQuest is the thing that's going on right now, right? Okay, hey, back in 1977, I had a show at Northampton Community College. You could look in the records, called The Night of the Arts. Had bands for 6.5 hours performing, all original entertainment. 7 different scaffolds all over the place. With exhibits going on, with art exhibits in the lobby and on the grounds. One of the people at my shows was Jeff Parks, who started ArtsQuest. And he stated he wanted me to be his right-hand man. I said, I don't think I could do that because I'm on tour at my band. He said, I got a vision to take your thing and continue with it. He said, meet me in my office. I went. I saw this young guy sitting, doing some paperwork and walking around. But I can't mention names. But anyway, I mentioned Jeff Parks. I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, sorry about that. But anyway, this young guy walking around. I mean, I know his name if you want it, but I won't say it. He became the head after. I said, that guy is a go-getter. Make him be your right-hand man. And I did that. He did that. I got barred forever from ArtsQuest for making a comment in ArtsQuest that offended one of their higher echelons who was getting, back 10 years ago, was getting 3 figures a year. And he tried to say that I assaulted him. So the thing is, what happened is the police came. They said, we're not going to arrest Mr. Caracola. He didn't do nothing. He didn't really take me to court or anything, but they barred me forever from ArtsQuest. It was a comedy thing that I was doing at the Bankel Cinema, but the thing is, I'm barred from music as well. I can only go to ArtsQuest, but I can't perform there. But at any rate, that's my thing with ArtsQuest. But while you're around driving, be sure, we got a great police department, and they are on top of everything. Stop at the stop signs. Make sure you rock forward, back, and then stop before you go and count to 3. Because the thing is, if you do a California stop, right now they're in ArtsQuest and they will get you. You know, that's how it is. I got a ticket to my first ticket in 15 years because I stopped 1 car length or more behind the stop sign and looked as I usually do, and then I proceeded. And the police officer and his motorcycle was down the hill on Pierce going up towards 5th, and all he saw was me going through the stop sign. So anyway, I'll probably have to pay that ticket. But that's how it is. That's just be careful. Don't speed. Don't go above 25 miles an hour in the city because you will be ticketed. and you will, it could be points against your license. 3 points, you get 5, you got to go to driving school, or you could lose your license. So be sure to obey the laws in Bethlehem, because although we got a great police department and they're very courteous and everything, they'll be nice and nicely give you a ticket. That's my thing about Arts Quest. I had all these musicians going on, being a musician myself, for 6.5 hours, but I get no credit for doing anything with Arts Quest. If I would have went along with Jeff Parks, just think, I would have been one of the, probably the oldest person at Arts Quest, making 6 figures a year off of the tax dollars of the people, and all those people that are supporting Arts Quest because they need the money. But anyway, anyway, I'm Artie Curatola, and one thing I gotta say, there's a lot of propaganda going on for anti-Islamic. We're led to believe that the Muslims are really evil people. If they're that evil, they would have blew up New York City. No, they don't want to go ahead and destroy this country and make it too much money here. There's too much anti-Islamic things going on, propaganda going on in our city and other cities. Not enough anti-Semitism. Thank you. I'm Artie Curatola.
Alex, 77 Ridge. In July, there was a flag raising at City, at Pedro Plaza, and of the Slovene flag. And there I was quite shocked because I was given a citation by the City of Bethlehem signed by the mayor, and which I felt quite honored and humbled by that. And sometimes the mayor and I don't get along, but it took a gentleman to sign that citation, so I thank him for that. And the city of Murska Sobota made me an honorary citizen, because in this sister city, I gave 7,000 Slovenes recognition to the world and to Bethlehem, not being Windish, but being Slovenian. So the Slovenian community embraced those 7,000. And the other evening, I was sitting there thinking, there are other people in the city who have done things for the city and not being recognized. And we're right now in the process of trying to maintain Hotel Bethlehem status as number one. But very little is said about the people behind that. Because if you look at this history of the hotel, it took a lot of energy, effort, and money to bring it where it is. There are a lot of hotels in the United States, but Hotel Bethlehem is number one. And that hotel, as much as I gave voice to 7,000 Slovenes over the country, that hotel has given voice to 70,000 Bethlehemites. And here's a sad part. I wish not to embarrass anybody, but the sad part is this. The person most responsible for all that happening is not being recognized. I'm recognized. So you might say that my recognition is 10% of the person who got 70,000 Bethlehemites recognized in the country as citizens of Bethlehem because of the name of their hotel. So I think it's fitting and proper that the mayor and president council consider offering some kind of awareness or citation to that person who did that. And I think you know who I'm talking about. I think you know whom I'm talking about. A very fine gentleman. A lover of Bethlehem. Didn't have to stay here. Didn't have to do what he did, but he did. So, get busy. And recognize outstanding contributions to the city. So, President of Council and the Mayor of Bethlehem, I think you have an obligation here.
Thank you, Mr. Antella. Does anyone else want to make public comments on Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1890 Eaton Avenue. Just for the record, I guess we know where the Bethlehem City Council stands in the priority list of Arts Quest, since once again access was blocked from Payroll Plaza into Town Hall. And Steve and I and Artie and I got in by having somebody move a barricade so that we could get to the door of Town Hall. It's symbolic, but anyhow, there it is. I'd like to take the opportunity tonight to deliver, as threatened, part 3 of 3 of my remarks about the water and sewer bill, which is going to be a recap. Basically, it's pretty simple. For 90% of the residential customers, 90% of the bill is fixed. It's the same for everyone. Now that includes the stormwater fee, the recycling fee, the service sewer connection charge, and the water connection charge. The only part that's not fixed is the perhaps 10% that's the user fee for the amount of water that was used and a similar fee for the sewer. I think the bill assumes that everything that came in eventually went out. So it's a fixed charge, and that there's no escaping it. I mean, it's a tax. Anything that is fixed like that is a tax. It's not a charge. It's not a fee. It's not a user fee. It's a tax. And it's the same for everyone. So, for poor people, it's a higher percentage of their income. This is called a regressive tax. And in opposition, perhaps, to the progressive tax for the federal income tax. The more money you make, the higher the rate you pay. And in between is the property tax. It's not progressive and it's not regressive. It's just, we can say, non-gressive, perhaps. The rate is the same for everyone. But it's the rate that's the same, not the tax. And incidentally, I've been informed that the state constitution says that any tax in the state of Pennsylvania, the rate has to be the same for everyone. But it doesn't say that the base has to be the same for everyone. And that's, the base is what the rate is applied to. So if somebody has a bigger house that's worth more, they pay the same rate, but they pay a higher tax. It's not progressive, it's not regressive. So how can we make the water and sewer bill unregressive, incorporated into the property tax, the fixed parts of it. The 10% that's not fixed could be an annual bill for water usage and sewer usage. That would be a lot more fair. So why doesn't that happen? Well, anybody who wants to be reelected doesn't want to be associated with any increase in the property tax if they can avoid it. Like I said once before, in the D.C. there's the phrase, Social Security is the third rail of politics. You touch it and you die. Well, the same as in local politics, it's the property tax. If you raise the property tax and you can't convince the voters that it was necessary, you're in trouble. So, what's the answer? Voters who are thinking, who are more educated, who are thinking about things, instead of just showing up to vote and voting on very simple grounds. How do we accomplish that? Better public education. So, don't hold your breath, but that's the situation as I see it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Turning to the left, does anyone else want to make public comments on something not being voted on this evening? And to my right. Okay. We are going to move on to public comments. Sorry. Public comment on things being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. I do not have anyone signed up to speak, so I will go around the room. Starting at my left, does anyone want to make public comments on something being voted on? In the broad center, does anyone want to make public comments on something being voted on this evening? And to my right. Thank you. Moving on, do any council members have old business they would like to address? Moving on to new business, any council members have new business that they would like to address?
Thank you. Mr. and Towns, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think, I just want to say thank you for your comments. I think Mr. Haynes has done and his team, has done an amazing job. I mean, if you grew up here, you knew that the Hotel Bethlehem was closed down for a long period of time. It was boarded up, and a lot of the storefronts on Main Street were boarded up also, and that was after the shutting down of the steel. And I think Mr. Haynes and convinced some investors that went with him and do a great job. And I haven't always gotten along with him, especially when I first got on council. But the more I get to know him, the more I see how much he loves the city. And I remember one time I was driving up the road, he's out there with a stopwatch and a piece of paper counting the number of cars that are going up Main Street and how long the lights are going on and how many are coming down Market Street because it was backing up. He was trying to provide information to the city so they could change the timing of the lights, to help the flow. I mean, that's the type of detail this guy's involved with. And it's been amazing what he's done. And I don't think it's any question that the hotel, Mr. Haynes, I think it's what, 5 years in a row now? Hotel.
Hopefully six next Wednesday.
And I think that, without him and his apparatus and all his customers, I don't think there's any chance that our Main Street becomes, named the number one Main Street in the United States. I don't think there's a chance. It never happens without him and his staff doing what they did. So I 100% agree with you. I appreciate Mr. Haynes and all the things you've done. I don't know if it's the will of council, but I would be more than happy to come up with some type of accommodation for him or letter of recommendation or of achievement. I don't know if the mayor, would you be willing to sign something like that?
We generally have him associated with something, and we've certainly honored the hotel before. I think it was a couple years ago when I showed up for your anniversary, I guess it was, 100 years, I think it was. So we always consider those consider those things as they come along, often in accordance with some type of thing that is consistent with our what our values are as an administration. So we can certainly take it, as always, under consideration.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, and I hope council could also look into that. I'll put something forward. I'll let you know about that. All right? Thank you. Mr. Shire, I think you were talking about the stormwater. I was kind of shocked to find out that the Supreme Court made a ruling. I don't know if everybody's aware of this or not, but it's illegal for the stormwater fee. They consider it a tax. Mayor, do you know if any entities within the city have refused to pay it, like Lehigh or any of the hospitals, any of the nonprofits?
No. All right. And just to explain kind of the way that works, and there's a lot of different ways that municipalities have gone about the stormwater fee, and one of the things that's come up that, you know, is being looked at is like other people that use it as, and first of all, like, where's the number come from? So the way it works is that there is a determination made, like across our city, as far as what the needs are, like X capital needs as far as stormwater is concerned, that's consistent with our federal MS4 permit, yes, MPDS permit. So it's a federal regulation that tells us as a municipality, as it does with all municipalities, is you need to come up with this plan, X capital number of dollars, and then it gets spread out between all the people that are paying into it. So in this case, and I had a conversation with President Helbley and Lehigh, who has volunteered to continue paying that fee, because one of the things that first start with, like, what is the need? So let's say that you have X amount of dollars that are needed for your sewer and water capital improvements and, you know, having to do with stormwater runoff and things like that. That fee then is split between everybody that's able to pay the fee. So part of the reason why the fee was designed the way it was by the state is to allow all property owners, including those that are nonprofits, to pay into this fee. So then what is determined is if it's X amount, let's say you need $100, you split the $100 among all the different property owners that are within the city of Bethlehem as it currently is. Some other municipalities and other places decided to use, like, say, their authority to do it. And those that chose to have their authority do this don't have to worry about anything at all. But because the city chose this plan, as far as, like, having it run through the city rather than having it run through, like, our water authority or something like that, or setting up a new authority, leads to what this kind of court determination was. But if people, and just so we're clear, it's based on how much property you have. So, like, if you own 5 square feet, like, you have to pay X amount. But if you're Lehigh University and you own 200 square feet, you have to pay X amount. But if you take Lehigh University out of there, what it does then is, like, your 5 square feet, you need to pay more.
Right.
We need to get to that X number. So one of the things that, like, we are looking at, and that's the President of the Municipal League, we're having this conversation, talking to the legislature and things like that, is a way for necessarily a potential legislative fix that will allow municipalities to be able to do this, like, as a city. But also, I mean, President Helbley's a smart guy. Like, he realizes that, like, there are different mechanisms that a city is able to use to be able to collect this fee that are able to probably stay within, like, the legal requirements. But also, it just, like, looks bad for people to pull out of this fee, because then all they're doing is sticking the rest of us homeowners with a fee that is created literally from how much impervious coverage you have or don't have, because that's how much runoff you are creating. So Lehigh is by far the biggest user. It's not even close based on how much land they own versus other nonprofits. We think other nonprofits own substantial amounts of land. Nobody owns anywhere close to what Lehigh did. Like, as this was going through the court, as it was moving through after, you know, Westchester University sued the borough, and it was, like, moving through, it was something that we were very aware of. So we've had conversations with them, and he's just said we're going to keep paying it because it's the right thing to do above all else. And
but nobody that we know of right now has refused to pay it. None of the nonprofits, like the hospitals or Bravian or
no, BI. Nobody. And I will tell you, and I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me, but I mean, I think, you know, Lehigh's number, I think, is like $200,000 a year. And nobody else is above like 50 or 60. I think the school district pays like
Are residents required to pay now? They don't have to pay it anymore, correct?
No, residents do have to pay it.
Legally?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and it's also pretty clear that it's not a situation where people get their money back either that have paid it already. So we are going to continue to collect it, and we will address those individual situations. But I will say, in like the conversations that we've had, like a lot of these nonprofits that are already not paying property taxes, to choose that, to basically say that the rest of us have to pay more for a thing that is directly tied to their own land that they own and their own like runoff, is not something that they, I think, are probably wanting to step out and say, hey, look, we want to necessarily do this, especially because for many of them, it is a relatively small number. Like I said, 10,000, 20,000, 2,000, 1,300, things like that.
So at some point, we're going to have to change whether it's called a fee or a tax, right?
I think there's a lot of different options. There's a lot of different options. I mean, a similar situation, it's not apple to apples, but about 8 years ago when the state Supreme Court struck down like the way the casinos pay their host fee, there was a legislative fix that allowed the municipalities to continue to collect the host fee, and they changed the formula around and so on and so forth. So there could be a legislative fix. Like I said, however it affects us, it's affecting other municipalities. Like, I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Lancaster, these are places that have, you know, high percentages of their property are nonprofits. So like many municipalities are talking to their state reps and their state senators as far as what is going to be either the potential legislative fix, but I think, and this is just me speaking based on my kind of, you know, like the worst comes to worst is like you run it through an authority, so then you don't run it through the city, and then you're able, because those people that are, the municipalities that have chosen it to run it through an authority right now, as far as we can tell, don't necessarily have to deal with this, with the effects of this. But I will just say, this is a federal mandate. Like the whole reason why we came up with this was because we had to meet the federal mandate. So it wasn't like we said, let's put in this fee. It was connected to the idea that the federal government said, for you to be able to get this permit that you need to be able to continue to operate, like you need to come up with X amount of dollars to be able to put here, which is kind of where it came from.
No, I understand. I was just curious about the effects, and if there was any nonprofits that we knew of that were backing out of paying the fee due to the court decisions.
So. No, and I would tell you, it's like, and I say this for the most of them, and I would put, you know, Lehigh in this category, because like I said, they've been very open and good about this. Is like they understand that many of the nonprofits represent institutions that we have multi-layered relationships with. So to show up and say, hey, we don't want to do this, or we're not going to pay this amount, is relatively, and I mean, they know this, that it's relatively short-sighted to say, hey, look, we're not going to pay this, even if we're legally able to, when we know we're doing this. We're essentially creating the need for this number, and we know that there's likely to be a legislative fix. I just don't think there's a lot of upside for people to say no. But that could change.
Yeah. Last thing is do we have any information on the fire study yet? Is it in yet?
No, I think it's still ongoing. I know Mr. Evans has been going back and forth with some of the needed information.
Yeah, our last correspondence was about 2 weeks ago. We continue to send them data. We will extend the contract. And actually, earlier today, I did send an email to the consultant asking if I can have a phone call, a live call next week. Hopefully early, middle next week, to get a true timeline update to see where they stand, when we can expect to see product. So,
okay. Yeah, just let us know when it's finished.
We'll do. Yeah, absolutely.
And last thing, I know everybody's waiting to get out of here. Ms. Callen, before all the students come back, is there, I think I told you this months ago, but some of the restaurants are complaining about the food trucks that are, you know, Lehigh University food trucks. Can you send me any information we have on the inspections of them? You know, when you get a chance. I mean, there's no rush, like, you know, whenever. I just,
like, apparently, on their annual inspection?
Yeah, the restaurants would tell me that the food trucks don't aren't meeting the health inspection because they don't have sinks in there to wash their hands. So I don't know. If you have any information, just send it to me so I can start doing some research and start looking into it. Apparently, they don't have the cleaning facilities to wash their hands in these food trucks, and they're taking business and they're parking these trucks down along the the border of the campus, and some of these businesses are losing customers, and they're kind of upset about it. So
I can certainly look into the inspections. All of the food trucks in the city have an annual inspection for both fire and health, that would apply to any on-campus food trucks. Both Lehigh and Moravian have on-campus food trucks. They're part of their Sodexo,
contract.
Their food system. So in the same way that a university has a cafeteria, they are also, their food service can include food trucks that are part of their overall dining system. So that's not new, actually. That's been around for quite some time at both universities. But I can certainly look into the actual inspections.
I just want to see what the regulations and if they're required. I don't know.
All food trucks, food service throughout the city are part of our health and our food truck inspection program.
Thank you. That's it. Thank you. And welcome back, President.
Thank you, Dr. Leon.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other council members have new business that they would like to address? Right, moving on to communication 6A.
July 23rd, 2026 memorandum from Edward Buscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, with an attached resolution. Mr. Buscola recommends an agreement with J. Owen Bradley Construction Company, Incorporated of Bethlehem, to install an emergency interconnect valve and heater chamber between the cities of Bethlehem and Allentown and Florence Avenue near Central Park Avenue. Cost is $260,440. Contract shall run up to 197 days from the notice to proceed. There are no renewals. J. Owen Bradley was the lowest responsible contractor among three bids received.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
The July 27, 2026 memorandum from Director of Water and Sewer Resources, Edward Buscola, with an attached resolution. Mr. Buscola recommends approval of an agreement with LB Industries Incorporated of Hellertown, complete all general construction work items for the final clarifier sludge return piping modifications construction project. Cost is $370,145. Substantial completion is expected by January 29th, 2027, with final completion expected by February 12th, 2027. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
The July 27th, 2026 memorandum from Director of Water and Sewer Resources, Edward Buscola, with an attached resolution. Mr. Buscola recommends approval of an agreement with Brendan Stanton Incorporated of Montgomeryville, doing business as BSI Electrical Contractors, to complete all electrical construction work items for the final clarifier sludge return piping modifications construction project. Cost is $74,063. Substantial completion is expected by January 29th, 2027, with final completion expected by February 12th, 2027. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 16.
The July 28th, 2026 memorandum and proposed resolution from Public Works Director Michael Alcohol. Mr. Alcohol recommends a transfer of funds within the non-utility capital fund totaling $42,381. Transfer would consist of $36,628 being transferred from account number 62026-662067 paint truck and $5,753 from account number 69000-662067 paint truck to account number 62026-662076 forklift traffic in the amount of $36,628 and account number 69000-662076 forklift traffic in the amount of $5,753. This transfer is necessary to purchase a lift capable of loading and unloading 55-gallon paint drums onto an existing truck instead of replacing the truck with a new one.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
July 29th, 2026 memorandum from Assistant Solicitor Marilyn Shields with an attached intergovernmental cooperation agreement and resolution. Attorney Shields recommends an agreement between the city and Hanover Township, Northampton County, which delineates responsibilities for police, EMS, and fire services related to the city-owned Monocacy complex.
Resolution 10 is on the agenda. Moving on to reports, the only thing I have to report is I just want to thank everyone, specifically Council, Vice President, Mayor, who is not with us this evening, for stepping in my absence. I'm happy to be back and hope to not miss much going forward, but if that doesn't need to be the case, I very much will communicate with everybody what's going on. That's all I have to report, so turning to the Mayor for the Mayor's report.
No report, just passing along. It's great to see you back. Looking forward to working together and everything, so welcome back.
Thank you very much, sir. Committee reports, turning to Ms. Kwiatkowski.
Thank you. The Community Development Committee will meet on August 11th at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. That's next Tuesday, so it's not a regular city council night. It is a special night for this committee meeting. The committee will discuss two agenda items. The first will consider proposed amendments to the zoning ordinance involving yard setbacks. The second will review proposed amendments involving data centers. The meeting will be for informational purposes only, and no actions will be taken. Hillary G. Kwiatek, Chairperson, Community Development Committee.
Thank you, Councilman Kwiatek. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, 8A.
The ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Part 13 of the City of Bethlehem Codified Ordinances titled Zoning Ordinance. Bill number 22-2026 is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Laird.
Discussion on the date. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 8B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2026 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 23-2026 is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Laird.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Moving on to new ordinances, 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Council of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, authorizing and directing the issuance of general obligation notes, series of 2026, the notes, in the maximum aggregate principal amount of $25 million, providing the proceeds of the 2026 notes shall be applied to carry out the refunding of all or a portion of the city's A, outstanding general obligation bonds, series A of 2017, tax exempt, known as the 2017A bonds, B, general obligation bonds, series B of 2017, tax exempt, known as the 2017B bonds, C, general obligation bonds, series E of the 2017, known as the 2017E bonds, and D, general obligation bonds, series of 2019, known as the 2019 bonds, pursuant to a refunding program, determining that sale of the notes shall be a private sale by negotiation under the Act, and determining that the notes shall be non-electoral debt of the city, fixing the interest rate, payment dates, denominations, and registration, transfer and exchange privileges of the notes, and providing for book entry bonds, providing for maximum principal amortization, maturities, and interest rates for the notes, establishing the redemption provisions of the notes, accepting a bid for purchase of the notes, and authorizing execution of the note purchase contract, designating a paying agent and registrar, designating a place and method of payment of the notes, and interest thereon, and making certain covenants with respect to the tax exempt status of the notes, establishing the substantial forms of the notes, designating a sinking fund depository, covenanting to pay the principal of the interest of the notes, and pledging full faith credit and taxing power of the city to such purpose, establishing sinking funds for the notes and authorizing and directing payment therefrom, setting forth certain rights of paying agent and note holders in the event of default and other rights of the parties with respect to the notes, providing for the circumstances under which the ordinance may be amended or modified, providing for the terms, conditions, and covenants with respect to the insurer, if any, for the notes, authorizing and directing specified officers of the city to do and perform certain specified required or appropriate acts, declaring that the debt to be incurred is within the limitation imposed by the act upon incurring of such debt by the city, authorizing and directing proper officers of the city to deliver the notes upon execution and authentication thereof, upon receipt of proper payment of the balance due therefore, and only after specified approval, as required, of the Department of Community and Economic Development of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, providing for compliance with Securities and Exchange Commission Rule 15C2-12, covenanting to pay over at settlement sufficient monies to provide for the payment of the 2017A bonds, 2017B bonds, 2017E bonds, and 2019 bonds, collectively referred to as prior bonds, in accordance with the refunding program, authorizing and directing certain other actions, and approving documentation with regard to the refunding program, providing for the issuance of irrevocable instructions to the paying agents for the prior bonds to call said prior bonds for redemption, and establishing the form of such irrevocable instructions and the notice of redemption, providing the severability of provisions of the ordinance, providing for repeal of all ordinances or parts of ordinances so far as the same shall be inconsistent, providing when the ordinance shall become effective. Bill number 24, 2026 is sponsored by Mr. Heyman and Ms. Laird.
We endured that. Discussion?
Thank you, President Williams. Just briefly, we have discussed this at committee, I believe it was 2 weeks ago. Our advisor, Mr. Shearer from PFM, had presented to the committee, answered some questions. He's in the audience tonight. I'll be supporting this. Thank you.
Any other comments from Councilman Cleese?
I just do have a question, because during that meeting, when we talked about this, which we called the parameters ordinance, I believe, it said that there would be the sort of upper level of an interest rate, and my eyes crossed trying to read this several times. So can someone point me to the section where the interest rate is actually cited, because I can't find
this. For those who are not familiar, this is Scott Shear with PFM, so if he can answer the questions, that'd be great. Thank you.
Good evening. Good to be back again. The interest rate will be 5.5%. Typically, there will be, on the second reading, there will be a schedule that's attached that shows the 5.5%
rate. Okay, so that's what we're looking at, is the upper level would be 5.5%. Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. And the maximum principal would be $25 million?
Yeah, and as we talked about, so 2 weeks ago at the meeting, the actual transaction itself should probably be somewhere closer to $12 million. If you remember in that presentation, I kind of laid out that we're only refunding a portion of those four different issues, and there's going to be a fair amount left outstanding. To do this parameters ordinance, kind of the safest thing to do to give the team the most flexibility is to include all of those four bond issues. That's how we basically got to the $25 million number. But again, the actual transaction that we do that will need to be signed off on once we execute it, if you do move to the second reading and approve the second reading, we again only plan to issue about $12 million of that. So that after the transaction closes, then your legal counsel will file more paperwork with the state, basically saying we got approved for $25 million, but we only issued $12 million, so eliminate that difference, and they'll do that right away. Again, it just gives the team more flexibility to make sure we're pricing it correctly to meet IRS regulations and state regulations and achieve the city's goal.
Thank you. And then my last question has flown out of my head. Where did it go? If it comes back to me, anyone else has questions, please go ahead. Thank you.
Does any other council member have questions?
Ms. Forrest Lister, I appreciate our city clerk's voice and her everything, but nothing against him. But does he fit? Do we have to read that?
We did discuss this a little bit. We're going to look into like some of the titles that are incredibly long, and if there's any way to shorten
it. I would think that because it's in the minutes of the Miss Honor.
She's going to be looking into it after the meeting. Yeah, sure. These longer titles.
I'm just trying to save his voice a little bit.
What the statute says is that every title shall be read.
Yeah, and if the title is 3 pages long, which is interesting for a title, then
It wasn't long enough.
I don't think so.
A long title.
I think we're kicking around. But yeah, all right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Before I forget.
No. That's what we were doing. Go ahead, Councilman.
Our rating. When do we get that? The rating that's directly related to our interest rate.
So we'll start that process. Right now, we're in the process of putting together the prospectus, which is the offering document that has all the information about the city. In there, we are probably going to be having a call, I would say probably about 2 weeks. So that's a phone call with the rating agency, and then they will deliver the rating probably late in August or right before Labor Day. So it'll be, say, in the next month. And of course, we'll report back to what that is. And like I said, we don't expect any change to that, but obviously if we see anything that looks alarming one way, shape, or form, we'll let everyone know.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from other council members?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Right.
There's no other discussion. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. McClung?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with J.O. and Bradley Construction Company Incorporated to provide emergency water supply connections at Florence Avenue near Central Park Avenue. Resolution sponsored by Mr. Heyman and Ms. Laird.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Blum?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with LB Industries Incorporated to complete all general construction for the final clarifier sludge return piping modifications construction project. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Laird.
Discussion. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Blum?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Brendan Stamp Incorporated doing business as BSI Electrical Contractors to complete electrical construction work for the final clarifier sludge return piping modifications project. Resolution sponsored by Mr. Raymond and Ms. Laird.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Raymond?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $42,381 be transferred within specified accounts of the non-utility capital funds to purchase a forklift to complement the paint truck for the Bureau of Traffic Maintenance. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Laird.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the city and Hanover Township, Northampton County, related to responsibilities for police, EMS, and fire services for the Monocacy Complex. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Laird.
Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10F.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 410 Polk Street to replace existing slate roof GAF slate line asphalt shingles in the English gray color. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Laird.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Buicek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. 10-G.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution is hereby granted for 115 West 4th Street to replace the bow windows with aluminum folding doors, demolish the pent roof, install a man door, and replace the existing front brick facade with white brick or aluminum siding, and also install new gooseneck light fixtures and a new cabinet sign. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Amon and Ms. Laird.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Amon?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Daniels?
Aye.
Ms. Buicek?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. That concludes the city business. Happy festivals and safe. Have a good night.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.